Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 7-Eleven here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. You may have heard there was an election in New York City. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Zohran Mamdani, the charismatic Muslim, African-born, naturalized 7 years ago citizen. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. Socialist. Some would say communist. Pick your words. As somebody who believes deeply in the power of words, I think a lot of times the words we make big distinctions over actually don't make much distinction whatsoever. But, the right is very up in arms over this. They cannot believe it. You know, you've got all kinds of reactions to this. I don't know exactly if the left is happy. I think they look at this and they're a little scared too. Like, oh my God, we might actually get what we want. Are we going to want it after we get it? there's some of that too. We talked about yesterday how his platform, and I have not followed all the ins and outs. I think largely this election is a byproduct of poor alternatives. You know, could somebody else who was actually competitive other than, God, Andrew Cuomo, why? Could they have actually won this election? Well, maybe, but they didn't run. You know, you got to get the choices between the candidates that you actually have. Anyway, so Zohran Mamdani is saying that he's going to, create rent control, and he's going to make free buses, and he's going to make government grocery stores that are going to be super awesome because, you know, everything the government runs is super awesome and efficient and fantastic quality. Look, no offense to all of my dear friends who work in government, but, you know, if I give you the choice and you don't know anything else about it, you can either buy the government car or the privately built car. Which one do you want? I mean, it's going to be better quality at a lower price and more innovative, and the service is going to be far superior. Because why? Because it's a monopoly. Government's a monopoly. Monopolies are always a problem when it comes to price and quality because the government displaces private endeavors that have to compete against each other to produce better things at cheaper prices. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't mean to do the Econ 101 or the Poli-Sci 101 class, but that's how this works. So when government comes in, often as a result of the failure of the market to do good stuff, but not always. Government comes in, it displaces those things, and over time it becomes the only game in town, and that's a bad game. You know, it's a bad game. And so the problem is if you do government grocery stores, guess what? Maybe it'll be super cheap, and then the lines will be enormous, right? I mean, or it won't be good quality, you know, but it'll be cheap. You know, it's sort of the old, build me a website, fast, cheap, and outstanding. Well, pick two. You don't get all three, right? You know? You can pick quality and price, but then you're going to have to wait. You can pick fast and quality, but then you're going to have to pay. You know, you can pick price and fast, but guess what? It's not going to be the best one. So, government is, to be honest, when government provides a product, it's usually more expensive, slower, and less good. It's the anti-trifecta. The anti-trifecta? Doesn't quite work. Anyway, back to Zohran Mamdani. So he's made all these promises. We're going to have, free childcare, and the rich are going to pay, and they're going to stay, of course, because we're going to build a wall around the city to keep them in or something. I don't know what his plan is. Governor Abbott in Texas, bless his heart. Governor Abbott in Texas says, we're going to put a 100% import tariff on anybody coming here from New York. A, unconstitutional, illegal, you cannot do. He knows that as the attorney general, former attorney general. At least I hope he does. So it's a stupid thing to say. It's a sentiment. It's not a real policy proposal. I hope. It's a joke. I hope. But a lot of people are saying the same thing about like, well, don't bring them to Florida. We don't want your crazy socialism here. Well, the ones who flee aren't going to be the ones you got to worry about. The ones who flee are going to be the ones who didn't want Mamdani to win, and they want to keep their wealth, and they want to come here and live by not socialist principles. You know, that's the ones who you got to be worried about are the ones who are happy today. They're thrilled. Oh, my God. It's a new era. It's utopia on the verge. We're going to have everything we ever wanted. Let's check back with me in a year. See how it's going. Because, look, in all fairness, couple of actually, let's take a break. Traffic on the Fives. John Pickens, 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on this. Go ahead, John.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. Just a minor delay there. And also Highway 29 southbound, just south of 10 Mile Road, headed toward 9 Mile Road. We're seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, if first of all, people who are very upset about this, take a breath, okay? You don't live in New York, right? I mean, you don't live in New York. You live in Pensacola. Maybe you live in Gulf Breeze. Okay. So New York did an incredibly stupid thing. They elected a socialist. Okay. Let's see what happens. Because, listen, the beauty and the horror of democracy is that elections matter. And you get the people you vote for. And then they do the things that they said they were going to do, usually. I mean, sometimes they don't. But, you know, he said he's going to do some stuff, and he's going to do some stuff. And either he's going to get thwarted by the system because of checks and balances. It's possible. Or he's going to be effective at doing what he wants to do. It's also possible. And if he's effective at doing what he wants to do, it's either going to be, a catastrophe, like every other implemented communism has ever been a catastrophe, or it's going to be successful for the first time. The grand dream of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels is going to come to life, and all of a sudden you're just going to have prosperity and happiness and equality and liberty, and it's just going to be amazing, and everybody's going to want to be like New York. Look, it could happen. Logically, it's a possibility. It could be they've just never quite found the formula to make socialism work just right. And now they finally will. I mean, maybe. And, you know, honestly, if it worked, wouldn't you be happy for them? I mean, if it worked, even if you're a rabid capitalist and they managed to pull it off, you know, the first benevolent dictatorship in history, right? Because it's, you know, communism, socialism always degrades into dictatorship of some kind. Anyway, I mean, ask the North Koreans, ask the Cubans, ask, heck, the Iranians. It's not communism, but, you know, seems similar. You know, ask the Soviet Union. Anyway, where you go stand in line for a couple of hours every day just to find out if there's any meat, you know, whatever meat was, if there's any left for you to buy, right? And the stories I've heard about people who lived on the Soviet Union, they come to America and they go to a grocery store and they just, like, they come out crying because we never knew. You know, we never knew that's what it was like. Well, yeah. And we knew what it was like for you, and you didn't know what it was like for us. And that's information flow and competition and freedom of speech makes that possible. Anyway, so, you know, maybe it works. And if so, we should be happy for them. Maybe it fails. And if so, we should be happy to learn the lesson. Because another generation of Americans will realize that, oh, this is dumb. You cannot disincentivize the producers. You cannot make everybody equal. You cannot pay off poor people and create a $30 an hour minimum wage and expect the society not to collapse. I mean, you know, like everything else is going to go up in price. But they'll learn, or they won't. But that's democracy. They elected a young guy. That's democracy. They elected a Muslim. That's democracy. They elected somebody who wasn't born in this country but was naturalized. That's democracy. I mean, and by the way, I think the fears about, like, well, he's going to institute some kind of radical jihadi, you know, Islamist state. The dude is promising a haven for LGBTQIA+, I think is his preferred acronym string. Now you got to ask people not their pronouns, but their preferred acronym string. You know, which one are you? And so that's not a particularly Muslim policy proposal, right? So is he a radical jihadi? Well, not exactly. So I just think we'll see. And frankly, if you let somebody else pay the price of making bad decisions and then everybody can learn a lesson from it, that's good for us. We didn't have to decriminalize heroin to find out it was a bad idea. Oregon tried it. Bad idea. Now we all know. So, you know, I'm less freaked out by this than other people are. I just think, look, young, uninformed people who are frustrated with the system express that in different ways. And in this case, they elected somebody who is very charismatic and very likable, very charming, and says the things that AOC says without the screeching, you know, and worse. And look, we almost had a socialist president. Do you remember Bernie Sanders? I mean, Bernie Sanders should have won the primaries. Bernie Sanders should have been the Democratic nominee. The Democrats stole it for Hillary. I mean, you want to talk about a stolen election. I don't buy all the president's claims about the stolen election against him, against Biden, but I absolutely agree that the Democrats robbed Bernie Sanders of the nomination. And Bernie Sanders would have been a very competitive candidate against Donald Trump because they're so similar in a lot of things. If you really look at it, they're very similar in a lot of, they're very anti each other in a lot of things, but they're very similar in a lot of things. You know, their stance on war, their stance on the working class and so forth. Anyway, Bernie Sanders would have been very competitive against Donald Trump as a president. I think he would have won, or at least would have had a better chance even than Hillary. We were that close to having a socialist president because the country doesn't believe. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in capitalism. They don't believe in property rights. They don't believe in, you know, work for, I mean, they believe in socialism. Enough of them do. And so maybe this is a good opportunity for a bunch of people who really believe in that nonsense and have never had to actually live under it to see what happens when people actually have to live under it. You know, the grand experiment that all the 50 states are supposed to be is now going to get played out in New York City particularly. And we'll see. So that's kind of my, like, short version. Even though it's kind of a long monologue. That's my short version of I'm not particularly upset about yesterday. I it's like free speech. You can't believe in free speech only when the things you like get said. Same thing for democracy. You got to accept and kind of like democracy when a bunch of dumb people make a bunch of dumb choices and they elect a dumb person who's very charming and charismatic and not dumb, but believes in dumb things. And that's democracy. Celebrate that. They got what they wanted. Will they want it in 2 years? We'll find out. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you looking for something fun to do this fall? Well, you're invited to our church's Fall Festival. Northstone Baptist Church will provide games and activities for people of all ages. Everyone is welcome to enjoy the hay rides, dunk tank, food trucks, bounce houses, door prize giveaways, and much more. So mark your calendars for Saturday, November 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. We want you to be our guest at Northstone. This Fall Festival will be located on our church's beautiful 11-acre property in Northwest Pensacola. Our church address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road, so plan to join us this November 8th. For more information about our Fall Festival, visit our church's website, www.northstonebaptist.org, or check out our church's Facebook page. We do hope to see you Saturday evening, November 8th, for family fun at the Northstone Fall Festival.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before or that local theater is predictable? Well, foo around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, foo around and find out. At Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive.
How about a hobby that was fun and could make you money?
Find out how tomorrow at 9:30 on Pep Talk. You'll hear about how precious metals are a great hobby and investment. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold and silver. That's tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
But then if you keep folding it, it keeps breaking.
Why would you keep
and then
you'll,
everything has to be folded. And yeah. Then it's this, and I don't want this.
I got several texts in talking about the commissaries work pretty well on the base. No, that's true. But remember, commissaries exist in an environment that allows for all kinds of private products also. That's where they get the stuff that they sell. And also, if you didn't like what the commissary was providing you, you could go off base and get whatever, right? And also, it is heavily subsidized from a population outside of the people who are actually supporting the commissary. So it's not a great analogy. No, but you're right. That is a case where, you know, government in the military is delivering something and it does work pretty well. That's a fair point. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see our typical construction delays this morning. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you head into Pensacola. About a 9 to 11-minute delay in that area. And 98 is looking good. Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile Road going southbound. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, one of our relatively new advertisers on the show, New South Windows, and I told you about them recently. They've got, you know, they've got this showroom right there in the Davis Highway Center, right next to Books a Million and next to Crunch. Crunch is not where I go, but people seem to know it, so that's fine. It's an exercise place. What would I go there for? Next to Hobby Lobby. Anyway, what they've got is amazing windows that can save you money. For example, if you install these windows, it's going to certainly cut down on your heating and air conditioning bills because they are a tremendous new technology. The eVantage windows, it's two layers of glass separated by argon glass, and actually each layer has its own separate mini extra layers. They're like kind of laminated glass. You can stand right in front of the sun behind these windows and you won't not feel it because it's that good at insulation, which, if you've got a facing that goes to the sun, that's a great way to save money in the summer and save money in the winter, both directions. Noise, like if you've got a loud air conditioner or loud neighbors. Anyway, if you need new windows, they've got a special going on this weekend, this Saturday. It's a one-day-only sale. You can save up to 50% off on Saturday, November 8th. 40% automatically for anybody who comes into the showroom, plus 5% more with a military ID and 5% more when you bring a Toys for Tots donation. So bring your measurements. You know what you're kind of looking at. Come into the showroom and you have to purchase on Saturday to get the deal. But you can find out more at newsouthwindow.com. 12-month no interest financing is available. And this is your best chance to save big on premium energy efficient windows at New South Window. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the federal government shutdown is now the longest in U.S. history, 36 days in now. Some senators are hopeful it could end this week. If not, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says some of the country's airspace could be forced to close soon. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum says the U.S. will not be sending troops into her country to take on drug cartels. She held a news conference Tuesday. Sheinbaum said that she's rejected offers from President Trump and said that the Mexican government does not agree with U.S. military interference or interventionalism. Her comments come after reports that the Trump administration was in the early planning stages of a mission to put U.S. troops in Mexico. And soccer legend David Beckham has been knighted. The 50-year-old former England captain was knighted at Windsor Castle on Tuesday for his services to sports and charity.
All right. Sir David Beckham, huh?
I wonder if it's a dull blade.
Aren't you a sir, John?
I am a...
What's your technical title? You're one of these. You bought a little slice of land, right?
Yes.
Like a foot.
I'm a duke.
You're a duke.
Duke John. I have to go back and wait.
Sir Duke. All right. 729 on News
Boy,
Radio.
If you wouldn't have asked me, I could have told you.
I know. That's true. Oh, man. Jimmy Patronis. Yeah. So Jimmy comes on the show on Monday, and he tells me that he's taken his remediation class for speeding. He got a ticket in Gulf Breeze going 6 over. I interpreted that to mean 41 on the 35 of Highway 98. Turns out it was a 6 over for going over the bridge. And for going over the bridge, he was not going 51. He was going 68. So he was going 23 over, and they only wrote it for, you know, 6 over. And then he complained to me about how, you know, it's not fair that they hide out and they snipe at you, and like you know, and it turns out that the cop car was sitting in the plane left lane marked. And it wasn't on the other side of the hill. It was on the north side of the hump as he was going south, and the officer did him a solid by writing it down for a lesser amount that doesn't make the city very much money. So Chief Hawthorne goes on Channel 3 and talks about it yesterday, and yeah. What was Chief's comment? Was, well, I don't know, maybe if you were going to speed. maybe if you were going the speed limit, you would have been better able to see the cop car that gave you the ticket. Yeah.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani tapping into young voters on his way to a rousing victory in the mayor's race in New York City, and he was not a gracious winner.
This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one.
Fox's Peter Ducey.
President Trump does not see these off-year elections as a referendum on his administration, explaining on Truth Social as polls closed, Trump wasn't on the ballot, and shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight, according to pollsters.
New Jersey sends Democrat Mikey Sherrill to the state house, crushing Republican Jack Cittarelli in the governor's race. It wasn't even close in Virginia. A contest for governor, Democrat Abigail Spanberger, defeats Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 51 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County deputies are investigating after a man with a gunshot wound was found in a Whataburger parking lot yesterday. The man was found in the parking lot on Pensacola Boulevard and Boone Street. Deputies say the victim was taken to a local hospital. We don't have a current update on his condition. Investigators have not released any suspect information at this time. Well, Pensacola's mayor is optimistic about the long-term benefits of the upcoming Reimagined Palafox project. Now, that's set to close Palafox for several months starting in January. It includes the installation of brick pavers, crosswalk and sidewalk improvements, stormwater improvements, and a vibrant new aesthetic.
It was a simple math equation to say if we can have this transformational change that sets us up for generations to come, many things that need to take place, we shouldn't look at this short-sightedly and just go back and repave the road if we had an opportunity to do something like this.
The $10.5 million project is being funded partially by FPL and by money that's limited to use in downtown and street projects. Mayor Reeves is asking for property owners to contribute to the project by offering tenants rent relief if they can, as the project is ongoing. Now, anybody who takes the mayor up on that will receive a historical marker once that project is complete. The city's hoping the project is done by Memorial Day, offering the contractor a bonus if it is. Pensacola police say they're looking for a man that was dressed as a chef that's accused of a hit and run last Sunday. The video shows the man walking through an alley to a parking lot behind Attorney Michael Griffith's building, then shows a car hitting some bushes, a tree, and a fence.
In the back, there is a big tree stump from a tree that was struck by lightning, and he apparently ran into that, and his wheel well is left in the back, along with some other pieces of his car. And then he came flying down here and ran into our fence and plowed it down pretty much.
And Griffith estimates the damages at a few thousand dollars. PPD says it appeared the man may have been intoxicated at the time. Once the driver's identified, they say they will face charges of leaving the scene of an accident and potentially other charges as well. The vehicle involved was a gray Hyundai Genesis G80. And police are asking anybody with information on the mystery chef to contact PPD or to call Crime Stoppers. Senator Rick Scott says he wants Verizon to explain their role in what he believes was an unlawful investigation. Scott said yesterday he sent a letter to Verizon's CEO, Daniel Shulman, about Arctic Frost, and that's the name of an investigation the FBI conducted 2 years ago. It focused on Republican lawmakers after the 2020 election. Scott says he was one of those targeted, and he wants Verizon to release the cell phone data they collected on him and his colleagues. Scott accuses the Biden administration of illegally spying on Republican lawmakers. 7:35, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Highway 90 southbound is starting to back up a little. We're seeing about a 12 to 15-minute delay
in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Right now, it's partly cloudy. We've got 51 degrees in Pensacola. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Sales of light vehicles in the U.S. fell in October as the expiration of federal government subsidies undercut demand for battery-powered electric cars. Omdia data says light vehicle sales decreased 6.5% to a seasonally adjusted annualized rate of 15.3 million units last month. AMD results exceeded consensus, but guidance for adjusted gross margin in the current quarter was in line with expectations. In October, the chipmaker announced a deal with OpenAI, which for years relied on NVIDIA processors for running artificial intelligence models. Also earlier this week, Amazon said it sold all of its shares in AMD. Pinterest has reported third quarter financial results that missed expectations for earnings per share but beat on global monthly active users. The company said fourth quarter revenue will come between $1.31 billion and $1.34 billion. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 251, the NASDAQ down 486. That's Your Money Now.
Need to move across town, across the country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BVB-accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all the surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sins Foundation. Choose a team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com today.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5. For reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Fufu Festival, Atlas Beverage Class featuring Grayton Brewing Company, the World is Your Oyster Collaboration Dinner, Thanksgiving, and so much more. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have with us Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of the great city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thanks, Andrew. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I have to start with the least important thing in the whole universe of constellations around your authority as mayor right now. Bro, what's with the porn stash?
Because
this is, you know, we were watching the press conference from yesterday, and we both had the exact same reaction.
Well,
we're like,
if you look, over the last 3 years, if you've been doing your research over the last 3 years, it's been a couple times the first week of November because I've got a Ted Lasso costume that I throw on in a pinch for Halloween. So, but you know, once you commit to that, you know it doesn't grow back the next day. So you gotta
next 6 months if you're me. So I'm just jealous. But okay, yeah. All right. So it's a costume. Oh, and so last week you told me you were going to be J.D. Vance, and you turn out to be Ted Lasso, bro.
I know, but I have to wear a suit all the time. You know, it's more comfortable to wear, you know, a coach.
All right, fair enough. On to serious matters. I know the Reimagined Palafox is a very big thing, and I want to talk about that. But I want to just get some clarity in the American Magic story because there's an awful lot of snarky, dismissive, contemptuous, oh, we spent all this money and what did we get for it? We're not even in the America's Cup. Why don't they rename it? That kind of gist online, I see a lot of that. And I just wanted to give you a chance to address the significance or not of the American Magic team declining to participate due to what they called politics.
Right. Well, first of all, as I mentioned yesterday, I couldn't be more bullish on the project as we sit on this phone call today than frankly what we expected when we started this process. There's really two buckets of importance I see in this project, both fully on the table and actually have grown beyond our expectations. First is the manufacturing job creation side. When this process started, it was focused primarily around sailing with kind of a secondary value of manufacturing job growth. Now they have job requirements, right, per Triumph money, all of those types of things, but that was kind of secondary. But because of the type of work they do and working with composites and all that stuff, they are literally turning away work right now based on workload. So the demand for their expertise is significantly higher than I think any of us expected. I mean, for example, they've already hired several students at Pensacola State at UWF. They've already built those programs because of just the pent-up demand that they have for their work that can translate to spacecraft, it can translate to boats, et cetera. So that is going infinitely better than we expected this early before they even moved into their building.
Right.
Frankly, they've already got a full building next door. So on the job creation, economic development side, things are going great. And then, as I said, this is really their news to share, but as I have, you know, they've obviously kept me in the loop on how things move on the sailing side, I have the utmost confidence that they will continue to be on the forefront of international sailing. That's what I can tell you. Now, the analogy for sports fans I've been using, it's a golf analogy, is the America's Cup's like the Ryder Cup. That's every 2 or 3 years. But there are other things that are like the PGA Tour or like LIV that are happening on the international scale every month, every few months. There are other avenues that put you in the forefront of international sailing other than the America's Cup. And so again, they are exploring those, and that's their news to share at the time that they want to share it. But what I can tell you is I met with Doug DeVos, the principal of the team, the CEO, the COO. They flew in on Monday night. I had a 3-hour meeting with them to kind of talk through some of those things. And again, I could not be more excited for this project. And when the dust settles, there will be zero impact of that in terms of what was promised and committed to in Pensacola. And they certainly gave us their full unwavering commitment that they want to be here and they want to be here for the long term.
And you've got, as you're kind of been hinting at, the lots of other spinoff races, you know, all the different things that are coming, even, you know, came last year, are going to be coming in the future. And so there's other things besides this. And I think a lot of people perceive it that way. I think sometimes I find myself perceiving it that way too, because I don't know this field very well. And I think, well, that's the only thing going on. The Super Bowl is all there is in football. Well, no, there's actually a lot of other stuff too. So that's a good perspective. And that's why I wanted to ask you about it. All right. Switching gears a little bit for the Reimagined Palafox. You and I have talked about this quite a bit, but you have now had a chance to meet with the owners. You've met with the businesses. There's another meeting today that's being called by the city council. You've put out this letter where you've asked the owners, landlords, to reduce their rent by $10,000 over the course of 6 months. And if they do that, they'll get their name on a plaque. You've asked for parking alleviation. You've asked for a bunch of things and participation. So, what else is there really that we don't know, either what was the byproduct of these meetings or what are we going to learn today during the meeting?
Yeah, well, let me set the table on this in the fact that this has been a multi-year process, So I know that it seems like this is moving quickly or that this is relatively new. I think that's just because of the intensity of the conversation around it. We had meetings with those same groups in the summer going through design, right? Hey, we've got to design something so we can RFP it. We made changes to those things. And so, I think obviously the property owners overwhelmingly, it was about, 28-2 on the property owners that wanted to do it. And of course, business owners, as I told them, I have been a downtown business owner. I certainly sympathize and understand with what inconvenience looks like. But, there are other things at the end of the tunnel here that I think need to be factored in, like 1,700 feet of stormwater pipe running down Palo Fox Street. If we just go repave the road like FPL was going to, that doesn't get put in. The pedestrian improvements and the bicycle improvements, that there's actually a place to, park a bike and you can actually feel safe being on a bike on Palo Fox Street. We think those things matter. 46 ADA improvements matter. So you can guarantee someone hasn't looked into it when they say, well, this is a vanity project or it's an aesthetic project. Mm-hmm. It's an aesthetic project only because we're already tearing up the road to put in major infrastructure improvements that have to take place. And frankly, that's why we got here. Why are we even having this conversation? It's because FPL was going to repave the road with just asphalt. That's it. And we were going to have to close Palo Fox Street for what we estimate as at least 2 months. So then the conversation, we looked at each other and said, well, man, this is a once in a generation. We're not going to cut this road up very much. Why don't we go put all of these key infrastructure improvements in now when the road, so we only have to close the road once. So that's the irony of, the criticism of closing the road is the only reason we're even sitting here having this conversation is because we want to only close the road once. We actually want to minimize the amounts of inconvenience. And when you add stormwater that can fill half of an Olympic-sized swimming pool in terms of capacity, all of those storefronts have flooded at some point or have had issues. So we're trying to be smart about how we use our time and how we use inconvenience to other people. That's how we've ended up in this project, and it's why we've been talking about it for the better part of 2 years. And why are we moving it forward at this pace? Well, because we want to start on January 5th, where it's the least impactful to the businesses. That doesn't help the city one way or the other. We could start January, we could start March, we could start April. We're wanting to start in January because that's what we pledged to the business owners that when we are going to close for a few months, let's do it during the least impactful months, after the holiday season, all of that. So we're trying to meet a deadline that helps the business owners, not necessarily one that makes any impact to the city operation.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
No accidents to report to you, but I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. And also Highway 90 southbound, expect about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area headed toward Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I'm not sure. I assume that Deborah Dunlap has been one of the people that you've talked to in all this because she owns a bunch of property. But she was the reason I mentioned her. She's a dear friend. But WAR had a letter from her in which she talked about the impact that this is having on her because, if you own vacation rentals downtown for a while, nobody's going to want those on Palo Fox, and that's going to sit vacant. Or, this business property she's got for like 4,500 square feet, which, people are basically saying, well, we'll wait until after the construction is done, which makes sense. You don't want to launch a brand new endeavor when you're going to be facing, 6 out of your first 8 months in business are going to be a problem. How much of an adversity are you really anticipating? I know you're a business owner. I know you care. I know this is a project that has to happen. It's never going to be convenient to do. But really, from your perspective, having talked to everybody now, how big of a problem is this going to be?
Well, listen, that all becomes predictive. And number one, Debbie Dunlap has shown her approval for this project. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the vast, vast majority of property owners are on board because they've been through floods, they've been through these issues, and I think they understand. And that's what happened is we were able to present facts. There was lots of speculation made last week when I hadn't even met with the construction company myself. So you I'm listening to criticisms of a project of which I know aren't from based in anything because we haven't even met with the contractor post bid. So once we were able to share those facts with everybody on Wednesday and Thursday, I think the dynamics changed in the sense that we understand the stormwater. We understand all of these things that now we've been talking about for a year, but now it's kind of back on the front burner. To be able to share that. To your question, I mean, I think that's completely speculative, but I think the fair thing to say is, and I think it's very important for your listeners to understand too, is the sidewalks will be open the entire time, the entire time. So there, it's not as if there's ever a moment where you're not going to be able to walk in the front door or the back door of any place on Palafox Street if they have a back door. So those will stay. The fence line is literally at least 6 feet for ADA requirement, for, you know, away from the front door on the entirety of the space. So you can support all your favorite businesses, and I want you to support all your favorite businesses on Palafox. But to your question, I think it depends on the industry. If you're going to see your attorney, I'm guessing no impact.
Right.
If you're going to dinner and you're already parking on Balin or you're parking on Jefferson or whatever anyway, I don't think your experience is going to be that much different. As a matter of fact, there are going to be pedestrian tunnels put strategically east and west where you'll actually be able to walk across Palafox, at least every block or so. So even that, it's not like you'd have to go around as a pedestrian all the way to the north or to the south. I don't think the experience, there's a lot of talk about it, but I mean, when you think about if me and you went to dinner or went to lunch, I don't know that your experience is going to change very much, other than, of course, you're going to have the noise and you're going to have the fences. The same thing you see when you're in the French Quarter of New Orleans. You're on the sidewalk, but there's a road happening in the street. And I think the businesses that count on foot traffic, obviously, the T-shirt stores and stuff like that might feel something more of an inconvenience than a law firm or an architect or something like this. So I think it depends on who you are. But again, I am fully confident. We've put up $1 million+ in potential support for the businesses. And if you look at projects around the country, go look at 16th Street in Denver, a massive project. And they gave $1.2 million to their businesses for like a $300 million project. We're giving over $1 million on about a $9 million project. So, at the end of the day, we are doing our best. We're giving away 414 free parking spaces around the entire area. So, what I would challenge folks is if they think, I would certainly do your research, listen to the workshop, and kind of read everything that we've put up. I can tell you this, we have never, this is an unprecedented level of support that the city has given on a project like this. There's no way that it's happened in the history of the city.
Just a very quick one, because we're almost totally out of time, but to me, as you've said many times, it's an adult decision between real alternatives, and if you only do the repaving, you don't get the stormwater benefits, right? And so there's, the question is, to me, for the people who don't want this done, have they been clear with you about what alternative they do prefer? Do they want just the repaving? Do they want something without the aesthetic changes? Have they given you the, well, what are we willing to endure if we're not willing to endure this? Has that been made clear to you at all?
And listen, Andrew, that's a great question, because that is the challenge. What ends up happening is there's these undoable hybrid solutions presented that say, well, let's go back to FPL, but then add crosswalks and then add this and then add this. And I told the business owners on Thursday, that quite literally is what this project is.
Right.
The one that's in front of you right now, it's saying, okay, let's do the FPL thing, plus add stormwater, plus get the curbs right, plus put 51 trees in, 13,000 square feet of pervious, 46. We have a completely non-compliant Palafox Street ADA-wise, almost. We are adding 46 improvements to that. So, I mean, I think there's this perception of a delta between the project that is in front of council right now and all of these different iterations of a lesser project. No, we did exactly what people have said. And so, that's why I tried to warn them and say, listen, there aren't these hybrid projects that can happen where you say, this has already gone out to bid. I mean, you can't start value engineering substantively the project after a formal bid. That's why we went through everything we did for the last year. And why we had all those meetings, is to talk about the design. So again, I think we're in a good place. I think once people understood some facts, on that this is an infrastructure project, not just an aesthetic project, and didn't make those assumptions, then I think we got a little bit better understanding across the board.
And also, look, there's a bit of the Pensacola factor, which is that anything you do, no matter how good or how terrible, there will always be opposition. The question is on the other side, where do people stand after it's been done? And, time will tell the answer to that. All right, well, I always like to finish with a little bit of a lightning round. Interesting study I was reading recently about how people pay for things. The top method of payments are credit card and debit card. Third is cash, but younger people are paying with their phones, like 45% of people. So first question for you, what's your primary way of paying for things?
It is a card, and you know, I can tell you in the hospitality business right now, it's about 85 or 90%, or has been, you know, credit card.
Okay.
Cash is becoming more and more rare. I'm a credit card guy, though.
Do you? I thought you might be a phone guy because John, my producer, is a phone guy. I was curious.
If I left my wallet in the car or something.
You know, gotcha. All right. Do you carry cash? If so, how much?
Not much. Not much.
By the way, John carries $3 and I carry 150. So, you know, the range could be anywhere here.
I know. Man, I probably should carry more. And, you know, in case somebody, you know, thinks about grabbing my wallet, I usually don't have cash.
I gotcha.
So don't worry about that.
Okay.
If I run into it somehow because of, you know, I had to go to the ATM and pay cash or something, that's probably the only time I really have cash in my wallet.
And then the last one for you is, when it comes to food and expiration dates, are you an always obey them, sometimes obey them, don't care whatsoever about them? Are you the smell test guy or the date look at guy?
This is very simple. I have taken archaic presumptions about how long you can go past expiration without researching them, just remembering them from my childhood, and have stuck to those. So, like, you know,
milk plus three.
But other than that, I don't take a lot of chances. You know, if I'm over those, I'm throwing it out.
Okay, so you don't just go by if it smells or tastes bad. You actually trust the date to some degree within a range.
How long do you think milk can go past the expiration?
Yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough, very good.
How long do you think
for milk?
Yes.
Oh, it's completely variable. Yeah. It depends on the gallon. I've had milk go bad before the expiration date, and I've had other milk a week later. It's okay. It's just, you know, it just depends. So I'm a sniff and taste guy. That's my approach. DC Ree, is always good to talk to you. We look forward to the meeting today. The city council meeting's next week. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
All right. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see about a 12 to 13 minute delay, and also Highway 90 southbound approaching Pensacola. And you expect about an 11 to 12 minute delay, and also Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road approaching I-10. Expect about a 12 to 15 minute congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home, or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, Penair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to pull rank on you. I didn't want to have to do this. I'm with the mattress, please. There are no tags on these mattresses.
I mean, that's serious business, you know. Fletcher. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, the federal government shut down, now the longest in U.S. history, 36 days in, but senators are hopeful it could end this week. If it doesn't, though, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says some of the country's airspace might have to close soon.
You know, one of the interesting notes on the Mamdani election is a huge turnout, which in a way you always have to celebrate that.